Hi, I'm Jeff Goldblum.
Interesting, complicated, you know, character.
Welcome to Love You, Jeff, a Jeff Goldblum appreciation podcast where a friend and I watch a Jeff Goldblum film and rate it on a 10 out of 10 Goldblum scale. I am your host, Leslie DJ, and joining me today is my friend Heather Torres. Hi, Heather.
Hi, Leslie. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm so excited to do this with you.
You know, it was funny because the moment I mentioned I have a Jeff Goldblum podcast, you like jumped on it immediately. And I was like, yes.
You know, there's something magical about Jeff Goldblum, even though my first experience with him was a little bit traumatic. He grew on me.
Yeah, you're talking about The Fly, right?
The arm wrestling scene in The Fly was my first Jeff Goldblum experience. And then from there on, I didn't want anything to do with him until I grew up into being an adult. And then he turned into this gray salt and pepper daddy. And
he's gorgeous.
Yes, he's definitely doing it for me now in his older years than he did during younger years.
Right. I feel like I'm watching all these older Jeff Goldblum movies and he's like super young and like peak shape. But still, I something about the gray hair that I'm loving.
I totally agree with that one. Like, I mean, even though I was younger in the 80s and he was peak Jeff Goldblum, I mean, I still had my 80s crush. I mean, my first crush was Lou Diamond Phillips and La Bamba. So I still knew what was attractive at 8 or 6 years old, and Jeff Goldblum, just The Fly, just ruined it for me. Until I think it had to have been a Jurassic Park movie or something, because I'm all about dinosaurs.
You know, famous scene where he's like with his open button down shirt and he's like laying down.
I might have also hit puberty at that time and was more open to boys than I was at 6 or 8.
Yeah.
But who knows? But if you ever do Jurassic Park or Fallen Kingdom, I'm your girl.
Oh, yeah, we'll definitely get to that. Right now, I'm kind of focusing on the quirkier films. You know, one of the big two films that we've done is The Fly and Independence Day. But I'm trying to go back to the other movies that I haven't seen. Well, we're going to talk about one of them.
Yes, we are. We are. I watched it twice, actually, just to make sure I have enough information to keep you and your podcasters entertained.
Yeah, so the film we're discussing is the 1988 comedy Vibes. It stars Cyndi Lauper, Jeff Goldblum, Julian Sands, and Peter Falk. I was surprised to see Peter Falk in this movie, to be honest. So the plot of the movie is that Sylvia, that's Cyndi Lauper's character, is a ditzy psychic, and Nick, Jeff Goldblum, her equally odd psychic friend, take a trip to the Ecuadorian Andes to find a source of psychic energy, and hilarity ensues.
So one thing I want to say about this movie was I noticed that Ron Howard was the executive producer. I was like, wow, because this year was the same year Willow came out, and Willow was a big movie for him. So I was like, it's funny to see Ron Howard attached to a quirky movie like this, especially with Willow on his now resume.
Yeah, and Ken Kwapis, he directed it, and he had directed a ton of episodes of The Office. So that's kind of how I know him from.
That's interesting. See, I've never seen an episode of The Office. So.
Okay, out of my show. No, I'm kidding.
No, I always get stoned for that one. But, I mean, it's on my to-do list.
You better watch it quick, because The Office gets off Netflix January 1st. So, yeah, they're removing it.
Is that the one with Donald Glover, or is he in Parks and Rec?
No, this is with Steve Carell.
I'm going to shut up now because I've already embarrassed myself.
Oh, Lord, we're off to a bad start. But it's all about Jeff, so it's all good.
So
if you think about the film, is that Sylvia, she's a trans medium, so she contacts this wisecracking spiritual guy, Luis. And she first began communicating with her after having like an accident at 12 years old. And she was like in this house for like special people. Mm-hmm. And Luis taught her astral projection. Meanwhile, Nick Goldblum, he's a psychometrist, and he can determine history of events surrounding an object by touching it, Sylvia has a history of bad luck with men and overly flirtatious behavior, turns off Nick right away. And this is all per Wikipedia, by the way, just giving them some credit. So my first thought off the bat, I was surprised that Cyndi Lauper got top billing, because at the time, Jeff Goldblum was the star. He had been in Invasion of the Body Snatchers, Big Chill, and The Fly at this point. So that was my initial thought. So what was your initial thought of the film?
With the top billing, I thought it was because she also had a song on the soundtrack, because the closing song was her song. So I thought, oh, well, maybe that's why, because she closed out the movie with one of her songs.
Popular at the time. You know, it was the 80s. She was popular at the time.
She was very popular. And she looks so beautiful in this movie, too.
Yeah.
Wear that fashion as myself, a middle-aged mother of two. I shouldn't, but I would.
Oh, my God. The outfits were great. Her hair was great. She got made fun of for her hair because it was, like, super teased. And it kind of looked like cotton candy, but, like, in a good way.
Right. And you know what's funny? I liked the fact that they didn't play her up into the psychic stereotype of long peasant skirts and chains. Mm-hmm. They definitely made her a New York street character instead of that gypsy psychic.
Yeah.
I appreciated that.
Well, as a New Yorker, appreciate that they were in New York. So, you know, when the film starts, I was so excited. I went to NYU for this study thing. And it was just, you know, you see a little chimp wearing a Mets outfit. It's like the first images you see after the opening.
See, I'm based out of Los Angeles, so I've only seen New York on trips and visits. And they've cleaned up New York since the 80s. So I hadn't really got to experience that side of New York where they had street hustlers playing cards and chimpanzees and Mets jerseys and stuff like that. I've seen the modern New York, not the what Times Square is used to be.
Yeah, I grew up, I mean, I'm a native New Yorker, but I grew up in the 90s. I was born in the mid 80s, grew up in the 90s. So I didn't get to go down to, you know, Times Square and that area until I was in high school. So by then it was already cleaned up. So that's what I saw.
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty sure you've been following the humans of New York and the Stephanie story. Ever since she started telling her story about how she was working in New York and Times Square at those clubs, I've just been reading all about those clubs and what New York was like in the 70s and the 80s. It's fascinating.
If you watch some 80s movies, you get a feel for it. Like Coming to America, you see like how disgusting the trains were, but it was still something cool about it.
Coming to America is a good one.
So for this film, I enjoyed that they kind of, you know, Cyndi and Jeff embraced the wackiness. I think that they were just in it and having fun. I also enjoyed, I think that they had good chemistry. You know, when they're dancing, the tango scene, I thought they had a really good chemistry and they were just having fun. That's what it seemed like.
I think so. I definitely could see some chemistry when they were doing their flirtatious scenes in Ecuador that I'm sure we'll get to. I don't want to jump too far ahead of you, but there's definitely some. But I mean, how do you not have chemistry with Jeff Goldblum?
I know.
There's just something about him on screen that you're just at ease.
Yeah, you gravitate towards him and he is so tall. And it's like in a lot of these films that I've been watching, they always like comment that because a lot of his co-stars are so much shorter than him. So she calls him Stretch. So that was kind of funny. And even Peter Falk at one point is like, oh, you're tall. So they all talk about that. He's also in a movie that I'll probably end up doing at some point called The Tall Guy. So
I saw that. And it's funny because he didn't play the piano this time, but he also was a scientist, or it seems like in most of his movies in the 80s, he's some kind of engineer or a scientist or some wacky, crazy character. I guess crazy wouldn't be the right word, but a very smart intellectually, but not socially kind of character.
Yeah, because he's working in a museum in this movie. And so he's using his gift to kind of chronicle all the artifacts and things like that. And then his boss is like using him as like a freak show, you know, like touch this, touch that, you know, tell them the investors what they want to hear. And it's just crazy. I didn't think that going into this movie, I didn't read anything about it. I just went in blindly. I didn't think that other people would have known so openly about his gift. I thought that it would have been a secret, but everyone knew since he was like a child.
Right. Yeah. I mean, to work in a museum and then to be like put on display like that. Yeah, definitely. But I mean, it's hard to get people to convince you of the gifts, you know? I mean, people think you're crazy.
Yeah. And especially when they're at that study that they're all showing their different gifts. And you think these people are psychos because they just seem so zany, but they all have special talents. And then there's this one guy who we'll see in Ecuador. His name is Ingo Swelden, and he's like Swedish. And he looks exactly like James Corden. I don't know if you noticed that.
Right. He definitely looks like James Corden's uglier little brother.
Yeah.
Or you know who he also reminds me of in Pee-wee's Big Adventure, the bratty boy next door.
Yeah.
I forget his name, but the bratty boy next door that wanted his bike.
So this guy, like Ingo, he is also trying to cash in. So we talk about this part of the film where they go to Ecuador because Peter Falk's character, he's a total scammer. He goes into Cyndi Lauper's apartment and is trying to get her because she's a psychic. He found out about this and trying to get her to find his son, quote unquote son. And so she enlists Jeff Goldblum to kind of help her track him down because he has a special gift and it'll be easier to kind of track him down. So they go to Ecuador and that's where you see kind of the truth that he's really just scamming them and he just wants this gold because he thinks there's like this place with gold and he's trying to get there. So he gets them under the pretext of my son is missing, help me find my son. And really he's just trying to find this city of gold.
Right, this ancient city with some relic. Yes, I definitely, that's why he was holding on to the shirt and just saying, well, this doesn't feel like a little boy's shirt. This
yeah.
doesn't feel like a boy wore this. This feels like a man shirt. Actually, I missed that part of the movie. So you just connected those dots for me.
Yeah, and at one point he's like, oh no, it's my father's shirt. He's like, no, this person is like your age. So then he had to come clean that this is, you know, his friend's shirt and that they're trying to find where he is because one of his friends went up there and he came back kind of changed. He couldn't speak. He was just a big old mess.
Right. That's when we see him in the hospital.
Yes. And that's an interesting scene. They're at the hospital because Jeff Goldblum also gets stabbed. So Nick gets stabbed from a woman.
But did you know, like when I looked at that woman, I was like, that's Bob's wife from La Bamba. From La Bamba just tried to stab Jeff Goldblum? Yes, that's Bob's wife from La Bamba.
And she's so over the top. Like, it's just insane, like her acting.
Right. Bob's wife is a little crazy in this movie, not in La Bamba, but then falls out the window and then disappears. We see her on the ground and then we see her gone. But while Bob's wife is trying to kill Jeff Goldblum, we also have Alejandro trying to kill Cyndi Lauper, Sylvia.
Yeah, Sylvia. Everybody's trying to kill each other. They all are just after this gold. So that's kind of like where it's going on there.
This is where we see the chemistry. And this is where we get mad at Cyndi Lauper because before they went to their rooms with these terrible assassins, but assassins no less, they were dancing that tango and they looked so good. And then they sat on each other's lap and then they had that kiss. And then all of a sudden Alejandro pops out and she leaves Jeff for Alejandro, who then almost tries to strangle her if it wasn't for Jeff popping in.
Yeah.
Totally something I would do. I relate to Sylvia.
Yeah, Sylvia was so horny in this movie. She was just looking for action from anyone, from the, you know, the clinics, the study guides.
Was she looking for action or was she looking for validation?
Oh, that's true. Probably validation. And there's funny because I think Jeff Goldblum's character, Nick, at one point is saying like, do you want everyone to judge you besides your clothes? And she just wanted for the outside, basically.
Yeah, she was actually, I do actually relate to this character and her complexity. She is actually a complex character. So, I mean, I get it, Sylvia. I get it.
We're on your side. And Louise is probably telling her, to be a little sluttier.
Right. She probably, well, I mean, if we're going to go ahead and play the psychoanalyzing game, I mean, maybe she had all these issues from jumping from special home to special home, from people thinking she was crazy with Louise. So that's why. I mean, if we're going to play like couch therapist, that would be my vote.
And also there's like a scene like early on in the film before they go to Ecuador, which Steve Buscemi was in it. Like for like 2 seconds, and he's using her for her power so he could win like at the horse track. Like it's insane. So I feel like a lot of people probably had used her in the past for her ability.
Right. Yeah. When he had the nerve to say, I'm not here for you. I'm here for Louise. And then this other pretty girl meets him there. Oh,
that was heartbreaking.
Sylvia is somebody I'd want to be friends with.
I know. And her fashion, I loved her clothes. It was so appropriately 80s.
Oh, off that airplane wearing that ladybug looking bodycon dress in Ecuador. It's just like, that's the perfect ladybug Halloween costume.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I could dress up as her with some of these outfits that she had on. I just got to tease my hair like super big.
Right. Yeah, definitely do that. And, you know, the bright pink lipsticks. And yeah. I've always been, is that her real accent or does she embellish it?
She has a bit of an accent because I've heard her do interviews, but I think that that's a little more over the top.
Okay. Okay. What type of accent is that?
It's kind of like Long Island, but like on steroids.
Okay. Because I'm an LA girl, so I don't know which accents are from which borough.
Yeah, but it's definitely out there. I think she definitely adds to it. And in the 80s, she was definitely leaning into that. I remember in like her videos and stuff. But, you know, as she got older and like more recent interviews, her accent is not that pronounced.
Right. That's what I remember as when I was younger, even listening to her speak or even to hear her music from, you know, Girls Just Want to Have Fun, or even the song in the Goonies. I can't remember it right now, but she had a song in the Goonies and, you know, all that. She kind of was like Madonna adjacent, the two, but they were kind of in the same realm.
I mean, they're definitely both super talented and just different in their own way. And you can appreciate both of them at the same time. But I remember, you know, looking back at old things, like I Love the 80s and things like that, you could see them, people pinning them against each other at the time, which they tend to do now, you know. And even like when I was growing up with Britney and Christina, they put them against each other. And it's like, they each have something to offer that's different.
Right. There's enough food at the table for everybody to eat. But yeah, I think that is our society, as they do pin women. I don't necessarily see this with men as much, but women against women, and who will come out as the reigning queen.
Yeah, it's definitely a celebrity death match, if you will.
Right.
So, talking back on the film, so the film's budget was $18 million and it only made $1,883. So it was not a commercial success. It was not well received. So Vibes was panned by critics. On Rotten Tomato, it has an approval rating of 14%. And this is based on 22 reviews. Interestingly enough, Roger Ebert gave the film 1 out of 4 stars and wrote, movies like Vibes appear and disappear like fireflies in the dog's days of summer. Nobody seems to have made them. Nobody sees them. Nobody remembers them. And then a Washington Post film critic, Rita Kempley, negative reaction to the film caused her to question Ron Howard's judgment of involving himself in the production, writing, Ron Howard must have been in a trance when he agreed to back this project.
I was going to say, Ron Howard must have been on a Willow high.
Yeah.
Coming off of the success of Willow and, okay, I will back this one.
Yeah, but it's, even though this is the case, we saw it on Amazon Prime. It's been released on DVD. And just this year in February 11th, 2020, the film was released on Blu-ray, you know, for the first time. So that means that there is an audience for this film. Maybe just the two of us, but there is.
Well, you know, I feel like there's more Goldblum lovers out there than just you, me, and everybody else who has participated in your podcast. So maybe people are buying the Blu-ray just to have it in their Goldblum collection with other odd trinkets, Jeff Goldblum related. We know they're out there. We've seen them.
Yeah. We've seen a lot of posts about people. I mean, you just tagged me in a post of someone's like sneakers with like Jeff Goldblum's face on it.
Right. They're out there. So I'm almost curious as who's still buying Blu-rays.
I don't know. Everything is digital for me. I don't collect them as I did before. I remember when they first came out, I was all for it. I was like upgrading from DVDs to Blu-ray, but I don't buy them anymore. Everything is streaming.
Right. I mean, I don't think I've seen a collection of DVDs sitting in a bachelor's corner of his living room in I don't know how long.
Well, that's good. It used
to be a badge of honor, the DVD Blu-ray collection a man had in a fancy, fancy case, but it seems to be obsolete now. I don't see those as often.
They're probably hiding it, or they probably like donated it all to Goodwill. Like, I don't need this anymore.
Right, right. I mean, I still have a couple blue shell or oyster shell VHS tapes sitting in a closet. I don't even have a VCR, but nostalgia.
Mm-hmm. I had a VCR until like maybe 5 years ago because it was in my closet and I tried to hook it up, but none of these cables work for the modern TVs anyway.
Whoever bought the Blu-ray, go ahead and message Leslie and let us know.
Let us know what you think.
Yes.
Maybe there are like extra features on it.
We need to talk to you because clearly you might be a Jeff Goldblum fan.
Exactly. Or as I call them, a Bloomy.
A Bloomy. We'll take it. He'll take it.
So what are other thoughts that you had on the film?
This is where I refer to my notes. Let's see. Oh, that restaurant they went into in the beginning when they met Alejandro and Bob's wife, it reminded me of the Blue Bayou at Disneyland. You know, the dim lights with the you know, lights hanging down. And I was like, are they at Disneyland? Is this the Blue Bayou? And then I had to remember they were at Ecuador.
Yeah.
I think I was just getting frustrated with the sexual chemistry between the two, Sylvia and Nick, Jeff Goldblum and Cyndi Lauper. Maybe because I, like I said, I do relate to Cyndi and she was so oblivious, or maybe she didn't want to accept it. The hospital scene. Yeah, it was like, oh, plot twist. What was his name? Ego? Inigo?
Yeah.
It was like, oh, he's here. And then
he has a gun.
Yeah. That's when everything, I was like, then all of a sudden everybody's here. I was okay.
Yeah. And they're all after the same thing, which it's like, it makes you wonder how they even knew about this. Maybe their psychic power led them to know about this, because it seemed like it was like a secret thing, but only the psychics or the mediums had like the knowledge of this place.
Right. It seemed like Peter Faulkner, I don't remember his name. Was it Harry? Yeah, it was Harry.
Harry
and his team with Nick and Sylvia, and they were going to go to Ecuador to quote unquote find his son, which then the truth was revealed. And then once they went to speak with his partner who was dying in the hospital, that's when they run into, oh, you are my, I wouldn't even know the appropriate term to call him. We weren't classmates, but study partners. Yeah. And all of a sudden the man that Sylvia, the doctor that was studying Sylvia, who was also having some kind of relationship with, is even there too, leading this set of bad guys looking for the same thing the good guys want. And here's your plot.
It was definitely a plot twist, because I didn't think that we would see the doctor. I didn't think we would see him there.
Right. Going into the movie, not knowing what it was about, what did you think the original storyline was going to be? Love story? Or did you think it was going to be?
Well, all I saw, based on just the poster, and you just see Cyndi Lauper and you see Jeff Goldblum, and they're doing like this thing, like putting their fingers to their temple, like they're straining their eyes, kind of like trying to get like some sort of psychic view. And I was like, okay, wonder what this is about. And I was like, they're probably gonna fall in love at some point. And that's kind of what I went into it thinking. I was like, okay, so they're psychics and somehow they help each other out. But I didn't expect the beginning. It starts with like these two men or these three men that are going up to the mountain to try to find this gold thing. And they find like this big crystal with superpowers. So that's kind of how the film starts. And it kills one of them and it drives the other one kind of insane.
Right, right. I didn't think the movie would take the direction it did. I thought it was going to be two people who have abilities, learning their abilities and learning about each other and falling in love because they both understand each other from a world that tends to reject the idea of psychics.
Yeah.
I felt like the movie was going to go in that direction and I was wrong.
But I mean, so what are your thoughts in terms of, and did you enjoy the film? Was it fun for you?
You know, it was a silly film and no animals were harmed. The bad guys got it at the end. You know, is it something I probably watch on a regular basis or fall asleep to? No, but am I mad that I spent an hour and a half and watched 2-3 hours because I watched it twice? Also no, you know, because I can appreciate the value of the nostalgia and I can appreciate Cyndi Lauper and I can appreciate that I can actually relate to a character. So no, I mean, I don't say it's a bad movie.
And Jeff is extra yummy in this film. He looks so good.
Really? You thought so?
Yeah, I think he's good.
Like at the end of the movie, I was like, I can see his rib cages. He's so skinny, but I like a meaty man.
Oh, okay. No, I was just talking about his face. Like, I just thought, it was in super 80s, because there's some other movies where he has like a mullet.
Right. And you know, it's like, I mean, they can do a lot of work nowadays to spruce up and touch up and do touch ups and people aren't. He was flawless at that point. And I mean, there's little that they could have done at that point to like, they couldn't obviously go in and Photoshop Cyndi Lauper to have her petite frame that she had, or, you know, Jeff Goldblum with his hazel eyes that just stood out, those hazel brown eyes. Mm-hmm. Though he has some nice eyes.
Yeah, I've met him and he is so dreamy in person and so sweet. And
okay, I have to ask a weird question.
Yeah.
Does he smell really good?
Because I sniffed him, yes.
He looks like somebody that would smell really good. And I love a man that smells good. He's an man that looks like he would smell really good.
Yeah, I took the moment to sniff him because he gave me a big hug. And, you know, I'm so much shorter than him. I was able to, like, inhale him. I hope he didn't think that was too creepy. I was like, oh.
Not creepy at all. In fact, I would have maybe given a little shimmy to get more of that scent onto your clothes and never wash those clothes again. Put it in a bag, sniff it every day. I would have done that. Maybe light some candles and do a picture and make a shrine. I would have done it.
I actually have a Jeff Goldblum shower curtain hanging right now. It's just
I'm
going to need a face. I'll post a picture on Instagram as well.
Oh, I'm going to need to see it. Going back to weird things that people collect of Jeff Goldblum, you have a shower curtain.
And I also have like these spandex pants of him, like from Jurassic Park. So it's just like his body laying down. Yeah, I know. It's a little insane. I have a lot of stuff of him.
That's amazing. I mean, I don't fault you for it. He is a good looking man.
He is. He's a zaddy right now.
And I've even divulged into the history or dived into the history of women he has dated. Mm-hmm. Man.
There are lots of them.
Yeah. Laura Dern, Gina Davis.
Yeah.
Oh, Lydia. Oh my gosh. Why can't I remember her? I can't remember her name. Her dad, her grandfather was a publicist. Hearst.
Oh, really?
Lydia Hearst, they had a brief thing before she married Chris Hardwick. He has a nice resume of women, and he got married later in life, it looks like.
Well, for the second time, because he was married to Gina Davis for a while, and they did 3 movies together. Yeah.
They're married? I never knew they were married. I mean, I know you're younger than I am, but I don't remember. I remember when they were dating. When I was a child, I remember them dating, but I never realized they were married.
Yeah, they did 3 movies, Earth Girls Are Easy, The Fly, and Transylvania 6,500. I don't know that movie. I haven't seen it yet. But yeah, they did three movies together.
Interesting. I thought they met on the fly and that was their relationship where it started. But Earth Girls Are Easy came before that.
Yeah. And that was like the first film that we did on the podcast.
Oh, was it? Did it come before that? Because Jim Carrey was in it.
Yeah, Jim Carrey was in it. One of the Wayans was in it. Yeah.
Did it come before The Fly or after? The Fly was 86, wasn't it?
86, yeah.
Huh. I wonder, I think it came after because the Wayans brother and Jim Carrey obviously link up to In Living Color, which was pre-90s. So I don't know. Back to Jeff Goldblum because that's why we're here.
Yeah. Those are great movies, I think. And, you know, it's funny because if people listen to like the rating system of this podcast, they're probably confused because they're like, I don't get what you're rating. And it's overall Jeff Goldblum and as well as the film. So the scale is 10 out of 10 Goldblum. So how many Goldblums would you give this movie?
I'm going to give it a six. Six Goldblums. Really? Or maybe I'll go 6.4 and throw in his hype.
Throwing his height. Yeah, because the film is enjoyable. You know, if you take it at face value and you see it for what it is, it's like 80s over the top comedy. And I could see how it's so bad that it's good kind of thing. And Jeff is super handsome in it, as I was saying. He's really good. Cindy is good for what she could do. I mean, I feel like at times she was just in a long format music video, really.
Cyndi Lauper in herself as a whole is just a character. So she's limited to that character. No matter what movie she's in, she is that Long Island character. So, I mean, you gotta accept that for what it is. And she does a good job playing that character of herself. It's almost like a cartoon version of herself.
Yeah, I think so too. Because even in like her music videos and in her albums, you know, she's like playing it up.
Yeah, I mean, I have that Girls Just Want to Have Fun is like ringing in my ears right now. And you know, I just have this visual of her running down a hill with her arms up like this. And
yeah, and like half of her shaved head and like long hair.
Yeah, I mean, she was definitely a trendsetter because even though like I wasn't allowed to shave my hair like that, but I had friends that had older sisters that had hair like that. And I was like, oh my God, they're so cool. And like, I was never allowed to because I was 6 or 8.
Yeah, they're not going to let you shave your head at that age.
Not let me. And nor did I have the texture like that anyways, because they had the permed big texture.
Yeah.
I didn't.
Thinking back on the rating scale, for me, it's one of those movies that I saw it twice as well, just to get kind of like a feel for it, get some notes on it, and really get into the characters. And I feel like they were kind of in on the joke because I don't think that they took it too seriously. It doesn't come off that way, at least.
No, I don't think they were expecting any Academy Awards for this movie.
And even just like the freeze frame of it at the end, it's like they're almost laughing.
Oh, the outer body experience Cyndi Lauper had. And that whole thing confused me. Like, I get that is her superpower is that her ability is the outer body experience, the astral projection is what they said, but we didn't see it until the end. And then it was like, wait, how does Jeff Goldblum know she's there, but the guy that's about to shoot him has no idea? That confused me. But I mean, whatever. She saved her man. And that's all that matters to me in the end.
Yeah. And then she loses Louise after she's touching that magical psychic dome thing. And then she gets Harry, like the guy that scammed him into going there.
Yeah. She lost Louise when she did the whatever she was doing to that, and the ruins kept falling and killing every bad guy. You know, you get this giant ruin head falling on the doctor. Everything's crumbling around them, but they still have each other. He loses Louise, and then they go back to the hotel.
Yeah, and then she bangs her head while they're trying to get, like, down and dirty. And then that's when Harry pops up.
Yeah, which, I mean, who hasn't banged their head on a headboard or on any inanimate object when you're trying to get down and dirty? I've done it.
Me too.
I feel like it's christening a good time when you do that.
Yeah, it definitely makes the tension go away because you have a good laugh.
Yes, yes. But before they did that, he was holding the glass and he said like this beautiful speech to her about you're insecure and you're this, but blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, oh, why is he so aware and just calling her out? And she's putting all her guards down because he sees her for what she is. She's just this insecure person who wants to be loved, and he loves her.
Yeah, he loves her. And also, we didn't touch on the fact that at the beginning of the film, he had a girlfriend who was cheating on him.
Oh, yeah, that's right. With the hockey, you were with a hockey player. And yeah, he named all these stats. That's right. I think I was more distracted by her pointy bra when that whole scene was done. Oh, my God.
And the way he finds out, it's by like touching her panties. He was like, someone else has been touching your panties.
It was a hockey player who had 4 assists. And I'm just like, God, those hockey players, I love them too.
So he was ready to, I don't think he was ready to jump into a relationship because he was definitely heartbroken. But his art, you know, as Darcy from 90 Day Fiancé and Darcy and Stacey says, his heart was open.
Right. Well, I feel like when you go to Ecuador and you have a near-death experience, not once, but twice, and you guys save each other from an impending death, I feel like it's okay to maybe explore the relationship possibilities. I don't know. If some man was about to choke me and some other person came running in and rescued me, I might be a little bit more sexually attracted to that one that just saved me.
Yeah, I would too, especially if it looks like Jeff Goldblum.
Oh yeah, definitely looks like a zaddy. I mean, I think it's just, I've totally lost my train of thought on this one. I think it was, even though it wasn't the right time, maybe in somebody else's mind, it worked out for them because they went through different trials and tribulations. And it's just like, okay, we're both quirky. We both have these things. We both see the truth in each other. We weren't looking for this. Okay, so he was damaged, she was damaged, but they both have accepted.
Exactly. It's a perfect love story. I really enjoyed it. So I guess my rating would be, it's difficult because, as I said, you know, I did enjoy watching it. I saw it twice. Will I watch it again? Maybe at some point, not tomorrow. You know, there's definitely other films that of his that I would watch again. You know, Into the Night, that was a good one. Earth Girls Are Easy, I love that movie so much. So those are ones that I go back to. This one, I am going to give it 4 out of 10 Goldblums. And here's why. It's because I feel that even though they were kind of winking at the camera, there wasn't much there in terms of movie. So they did the best that they could. But the film itself, if it wasn't because it's Jeff Goldblum and the cast, it would have been even worse, if you know what I'm saying.
Right. It's like those Christmas movies or those Valentine movies where they just bombard them with celebrities. And the movies are always crap because all the budget went into paying these celebrities. I feel like the budget went into playing Jeff Goldblum and Cyndi Lauper because they were two people who were on their high in the 80s. So let's put all our money into paying them because the names alone will drag people in. But yeah, sometimes the names alone don't work, you know, even though I did go see a movie because Harry Styles was in it.
Well, there you go.
I mean, maybe it works for Harry Styles, but back in the 80s, it probably didn't sway people as much as Harry Styles.
Well, Heather, this was a delight. Thank you so much for doing the podcast.
Thank you for having me. And when you do Jurassic Parks, any of them, you know where to find me.
Yeah, definitely. And so thank you guys for tuning in. And we'll see you with the next film. So we're going to be doing 2 a month. Because that's the new schedule, because I'm super busy, but I love doing this podcast. Until next time, and as always, love you, Jeff. That's the sign off.